A sermon on Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You whose glory has chanted above the heavens out of the mouths of infants and children, you have set up a fortress against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crowned them. You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of the Lord. May the peace of the triune God on this holy Trinity Day cover you like the waters of your baptism. 3. Why is everything better in threes? I mean, we have the three little pigs, the three billy goats Gruff, Goldilocks, and the three bears, the three amigos. We eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a knife, fork, and a spoon. We hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil despite being threatened by lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. We play rock, paper, and scissors, and we strive for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness all of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we cherish our government of the people, by the people, for the people. And sometimes we want it just to work, hook, line, and sinker. And mostly we wish for things to be as easy as 1, 2, 3. And then we remember we live in the real world. What we need to do is remember that we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't mean it's easy, but it does mean something wonderful, something full of awe and joy and love. It means we are taken into, wrapped up in, this loving relationship of the Holy Trinity and that tripartite, yet singular, eternal flow of love is the best place to be. Thanks be to God. And seemingly right on cue, today we are going to baptize three children of God. And no, I didn't set that up. That was the Spirit working all along. We will baptize three new brothers and sisters into our community and the loving flow of the triune God. Everett and Aubrey and Jamie, they will be the real, up-close, and personal representatives for us today of the Trinity, which is God. I pray that you will remember your own baptism as we pour, anoint, lay hands, and welcome our newest members. I pray you shout for joy out loud or silently in your heart, as every good Lutheran feels more comfortable doing, as we call on the power of the one in three and the three in one to again remind us of peace and grace and endless love that just is. Shouting for joy sounds like we have today, what we have today presented in Psalm 8 in our readings for the service. Yes, I'm going to preach today mostly on a psalm. Blame it on my seminary graduation just last week. I got back into the spirit of academic theology, and I was inspired to remember to preach on all of Scripture, because all of Scripture has something to say to us. I remembered that sometimes we need to hear the fullness of Scripture in order to make any sense out of this world we live in. Thanks be to God for that, too. And like any good speaker, we're going to travel through three ideas. Yes, I did just do that. I did just set up my sermon in the power of three. Come on, did you expect anything less? The first consideration I have for you is to hear the psalm as it was intended to be heard, as a hymn. A hymn means poetry or a song, and this song is direct praise towards God. Second, we'll explore how that hymn of praise speaks into the mystical mystery of God and of God's good creation. Hint, that includes us, and as always, it will include a bit of paradox, because it wouldn't be a Lutheran sermon without those two things, right? And third, I will declare that our relationship towards God is revealed to us through these words, meaning that the word of God tells us our relationship to and towards God. It's like we have the instructions right there in front of us. Oh, how I wish we would follow the directions more often. So first, let us start with the hymn of praise part. Now, there are many hymns of praise in the Psalter, but this is the only psalm where the entire thing is direct praise, not one shred of lament, or lament turning to praise, or praise turning to lament, or even a hint of anger to ask God to smite our enemies. Nope, from beginning to end, it's praise as direct address to God, both God and God's action in creating all of creation, including us, the creature God created in God's own image and set up to care for the entirety of creation, the sky, the earth, and the sea. Oh my. Another trinity of words. Praise the Lord for this theme today. I mean, take a look at verse 3. When the author is looking up into the heavens and stands in awe of the vastness and beauty of what God has created, the God of the starry universe and the chickens, that God is great. Think of everything that we see. Think about the complexity of your body working away right here and now today. Think about how vast the universe is and how small an atom is. And then we might too feel the sense of awe this author is speaking into. And I have the same question the author does. Why me, God? Why, in all of that, why this creation right here, in this skin, in this moment, why this? I only wish you could see yourselves, see each other, see the creation around us from this perspective, from God's perspective. I wish we could gaze upon all of it with childlike awe and wonder and a childlike acceptance of the mystery. Think about it. What would happen if we honestly took up our insignificance only to find incomprehensible grace? Because when our finite confronts the infinite, when our transient confronts the eternal, when our perpetual sorrow and anxiety of humanness confronts the Creator, we are met with the peace, the steadfast love, and the divine order of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am, as stated by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10. Seeing in this true light, we can begin to establish a right relationship with each other and with all of creation. Which brings me to my last point, this right relationship. What are we given here in the psalm to speak into that? What are the directions? We are given a lot, and it is subtle. The psalmist reminds us of our Genesis blessing and commission. We have been crowned with glory, kavod, in Hebrew, and responsibility, mashal, again in the Hebrew. And blessings come with responsibilities in the Old Testament and really in life, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, Spider-Man teaches that, for goodness sake. You see, human civilization was meant to be a vast divine project in stewardship. We are baptized into this. And through Christ, we are given the perfect model of human dominion fulfilled. In Romans 11, from him, through him, and to him are all things. Now, dominion is a tricky word, isn't it? Doesn't just sit well when we say it out of our modern mouths. Right, facing our modern world, which seems hell-bent on squeezing every last drop out of every last thing. No, in the word as it was intended, dominion is more set on stewardship, on care, on loving relationships, on building towards coexistence and understanding and mutual support. To take or harvest, yes, we need to be sustained, but not to take more than, or in front of, or to stand oneself up as more deserving of. None of that is what it means to be a steward. We are not supposed to wreck creation, be that other humans, be that other animals, or be that the environment that sustains all of us. We are called today, in all days, to stand up into our office in God's kingdom as an image bearer and a steward of all creation. This is our relationship and our responsibility to God and toward God's creation. You see, the reign of God is not restricted, it's unrestricted. Our reign is not. God's reign is not for one place, one nation, one people, one way at one time. No, God's reign is eternal and expansive. Let me say that again. God's reign is eternal. That means for all time. And expansive. That means everyone and everything. Everyone and everything. And this is made known fully to us through Christ, through his weakness on the cross that overcame that ephemeral strength of the darkness. Jesus walked here to show us just how expansive love can be. And we will profess this understanding and respond to this gift later in the service when we welcome the newly baptized into this same holy covenant. Oh, that we lived by it every day. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that you are children of God. So be childlike in your own awe and joy at that simple yet transformative revelation. You are a child of God, crowned in kavod and standing into your mashal. Expand it to include each other and all of creation, and see how much more willing you are to sing hymns of praise and thanksgiving simply for being alive, for being given life over death, love over sorrow, and a divine image to dance in, not a condemned skin simply to wear. Because the God of the starry universe and the chickens calls us to sing our praises to that. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3 when it is in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. Thanks be to God, 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. Amen.